I'm Sue Chun, and I'm here at OIP Dance Studio in downtown Toronto, and I'm here with choreographer Luther Brown. Hi, how are you?
Fine.
So you're described to be one of the top choreographers in North America today. What inspired you to pursue a career in choreography?
I think I've always just loved to dance and love music. So I actually never started out to try to be a choreographer. We just always had the crew dancing and doing routines and stuff like that. So I didn't really know about choreography. It was just more about trying to dance and do stuff that we saw in videos and movies and stuff like that.
What is it about music that you love so much?
Everything. I love different melodies. I love how music is arranged. I just like how things make you feel, you know what I'm saying? I like when things have a groove and a beat and some type of force. Yeah.
So were your parents supportive about your career decision?
No. No, I think being West Indian and, you know, being from Jane and Finch and growing up in Jamaica, first of all, dancing, you know, that's something that you do. It's not something that you do as a career. It's just something that you do at school, you do at the club, you do on the street, but it's not something that, you know, I'm going to be a dancer or I'm going to be a, you know what I'm saying? So I was going to school to become a history teacher because I love history and all that type of stuff. And, you know, but yeah, when they started seeing me, cause I didn't even say, Mom, Dad, I'm going to be a choreographer. I just started doing this dance stuff and I had different dance crews and I ended up doing videos and working with artists and certain things. And, you know, before I kind of knew it, I became a choreographer. And I didn't even know that I was. Because growing up, you know, from Finch, you don't really, who was a choreographer before? Like, who in the community was a choreographer? You know what I'm saying? Actually, in Toronto, who did I know as a choreographer? I didn't know anybody as a choreographer. So it wasn't something that I was like, Mom, Dad, I'm going to be a choreographer. It's just something that I just did. And they were like, boy, you know, if you do that, go to school. And I was doing school, but it was like, after a while, you're not going to make money in dance. What's dance going to really do for you? Da, 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 da. You know, but I just kind of created my way because something that I wanted to do, and I was just doing it.
So how do they feel about it now?
Oh, well, you know, I think because my parents, you know, as much as they probably didn't get it for a little bit, they get it. I mean, my dad loves music. My mom loves to love what she's doing. So it's like, there's no way that they couldn't understand. So when they saw me making progress and they started to see me, I guess, become a little bit more mature with those decisions and start to take care of myself and pay my bills and, you know, start to save some money and take care of certain things, then it wasn't stop the choreography. They were just supporting it.
Good. So what was your very first official choreography gig?
Ooh. Let's see, my very first official choreographer job was probably Julie Black. Because I choreographed, because that's my homegirl, that's like my sister, you know what I mean? Julie Black, Jenna Finch, we go back, you know what I mean? I'm 18, 25. She was right next to, right, like she was right beside me. But basically, being friends and loving music together, and she would write and I would write, and we would put her show together in her basement. And she was like, yeah, just pick up a routine and just put it together. And that was my first job. I didn't even know it, but that was my first job. And in the basement, I started making up routines and getting dancers behind her, you know? I was thinking about it now, the choreography was so corny. It was good for what it was, but that was my first job, I guess. That was my first artist. My first paying job was Missy Me.
She's from the community also, right?
Yeah, Missy Me was more Islington. I don't know if she was a Jane Finch girl. I mean, she used to rock in Jane and Finch, but Missy Me, yeah, she was the first person to actually hire me to choreograph her show / her video. My first American choreography job was Horse and Carriage by Cameron and Mace. Mm-hmm. That's a while back. But that was my first. So those are my firsts.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So how did it feel working with music superstars at first?
Well, I think at first, because we were all coming up in the game, whereas Missy Me felt like a music superstar, because I was like, she was already out. Like when I was going to school, when I was in grade 9, she was already out. She was already doing stuff. So that was a little exciting, you get to work with Missy Me. But outside of her, everybody else was, we were kind of all doing it together. Like Julie was doing it, so it wasn't necessarily like she was a star already. We were kind of all doing it. Glenn Lewis was out, but we were still, it didn't feel like working with superstars. It just felt like working with people from the community. Like working with Glenn Lewis. Glenn Lewis was Sentinel and Finch, you know what I mean? He was right there. Working with Melanie Durant, she was Sentinel and Finch too. Julie Black was Jenna Finch. I think when it got to Maestro and Maestro Fresh West and Dream Warriors, and then it started to get into more, like you started working with people who were a little bit more established, mm-hmm. and it felt cool, but we were all still on the grind. So it was kind of like a movement of all of us, you know what I mean? Little X was directing, but he was going in his game too, so we were all kind of going.
So from all the superstars that you've worked with, who was your favorite?
Ah, boy. it would probably be, they were all special. It's weird, it sounds corny, they were all special in their own way. But probably Janet Jackson. I think because I grew up to Janet Jackson. The first CD I ever bought in my life with my money, wow. with my personal money, my money working at McDonald's was Janet Jackson. So to work with her and her being exactly who I thought she was gonna be was amazing. Mm-hmm. Working with people like Diddy, I wanted to be like Diddy. You know what I'm saying? Like my dance crew do that. We used to dance to every single Bad Boy record. We danced to Faith. We danced with Mary J, Total, Biggie Smalls, Diddy, Lil Kim. And so to be able to work with Diddy was a trip, because in a lot of ways I kind of modeled myself after him. Like just how passionate he was with all this stuff, and how he had his street flavor was so right. That's kind of how my street flavor was. Mm-hmm. Like we just love the same type of things, and I think that's why I connected with him, and that's why, so working with him was cool. I can't even tell you one favorite, because there were so many of them that were like Lil' Kim was a sweetheart, and we danced to every single Lil' Kim record, so to work with her was a trip. Mm-hmm. Mario, that was my first male artist outside of Canada. Sean Desmond is amazing. That's one of the most professional brothers you're ever gonna know. You know what I mean? Julie Black is one of the most talented sisters you're ever gonna know. So everybody kind of was a little special. Olivia, Alicia Keys, Faith Evans, Blackstreet. Like everybody was just amazing. So I really can't say who the best was. Brandy, Brandy's amazing. You know what I mean? So everybody was special, but Janet Jackson stands out.
Do you have any least favorites?
Oh boy. Even that's hard, because yeah. I'm a people person. So whenever I work with somebody, I get them. So I never really had a bad experience working with an artist. I've had bad experiences on video sets and working with certain directors and working with certain things, but as for artists, from Angelique down to even to the most obscure artists, you know what I'm saying? People that you probably wouldn't even know if I mentioned their names. It was always fun, Fifi Dobson, like, she's a sweetheart. Everybody, I can't say I have a least artist. That's insane right now. I can't even think about it. I've had worse production companies though, I could tell you that. I've had some haters in the game, mm-hmm.
Okay, so you can't name names.
Nah, I mean, I could, but.
Okay, so you're going into your third season as judge and choreographer on So You Think You Can Dance Canada. What first got you involved with the show?
You know what? I knew about the American show, and I heard that they were going to start a Canadian show, but it's not like they had an application where you can apply. So it's one of those things where you just heard that they were going to have one, but I didn't know who was going to set it up, who was going to bring it, which TV station was going to run it. And I think people were just spreading names around, and I remember it was on Facebook, and I was talking to Wayne, my manager, and I was like, yo, this show is popping off. Like, it'd be cool to be on it, but we're like, they're probably not gonna set it up. You know what I mean? Because you don't know who you're gonna, you know. I was already like, they're probably gonna ask A, B, and C to do it. You know, because I'm not the typical TV look guy. You know what I'm saying? And I mean, so my self-esteem is not really the freshest. So I wasn't like, oh, they're for sure gonna go with me. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But I think word got around, and they probably did their research to see which choreographers were in Canada, and which ones were hip hop, and who was most known or who did a lot of work. And I've done probably the most groundwork up in this beach. You know what I'm saying? I've probably done the most groundwork because, you know, starting from nothing to get to where I am, and we did it, groundwork. There's no dance studios, but we did it. And so I think it just got around. Word spread, work ethic kind of help, you know, to get things and have my reputation kind of precede me. And then I got a call. I think it was, I can't remember if it was a phone call or it was an email, but they were like, you think you can come and audition for the show? And, you know, self-esteem Lou, I was like, damn, I got to audition for this show. What am I going to do for this audition? I'm going to audition. I'm going to get up and dance, and you know what I'm saying? And I ended up going to this audition and sat in this room. They had like a table. I had to sit. They had like mock judges, like different people that were auditioning as well. So I went into a room of a lot of people auditioning, choreographers that I've known, choreographers that I've taught, Wow. You know, so we're all in the same room and we're all going for the same job. And I'm sitting on this panel and there's a TV in front of you with the American episode on it. And when you look to your left, it's a room full of all CTV execs, like a whole room. And I was just like, nerves. And we had to watch the show and pretend that we were judging and do comments and stuff. And so we, after a couple rounds of that, I guess I made it to the end. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, and then there, that's kind of how it went.
What was your experience like on the show?
The experience is, it was definitely eye-opening. I think it helped me focus even more. Because when you're dealing with TV, TV's not like video. It's not like just doing work with artists. It's more detail, and it's a lot of pressure. And I had to battle certain things because, you know, once the camera's on, a lot of people are playing games and becoming characters. And I had to know how to balance being the real Luther with making it read for TV. So, you know, where I'm normally quiet and just kind of chilling, that doesn't read on TV. And being the first black guy judging a TV show from Jaina Finch with no experience, you know, you kind of get stuck in, everyone's overacting beside you and you don't know what you're doing and you just start to sink. So I kind of had to learn. I had to learn how to play the game and how to kind of wake up and be myself and be assertive. So I've learned a lot from that show. Learned how to talk. It helped me with my fear of speaking. You know, whether I went to school for English or not, I wasn't the one to go up and do the announcing and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. I was always the one that was behind the scenes. So the show definitely helped me step from behind to kind of come forward and realize that I gotta kind of hold it down for a whole set of people that aren't on TV. So it really helped me to kind of come out, I guess.
Do you think the show had a big impact on your career overall?
Hell yeah, it totally did. I mean, a lot of people think that this has been my career, like, So You Think You Can Dance is the only thing I've done in my life. Wah! So You Think You Can Dance is the only, it's one of the biggest thing I've done the last 3 years of my life. I've been doing this forever. You know what I mean? Like, from the Grammys to this, to this, to this, to this, to New York, LA, traveling the world, doing what I do. Like, you know what I'm saying? I have an artist. I do 2,000 things, 5 million things. But the show put my face in regular TV homes, like the regular household, and it's such a trip because you don't really appreciate it until you're getting on a plane and the old lady that got on before you turns around and says, "Oh my gosh, I really love that," or the air hostess or the janitor that's walking past in the hotel is like, "Oh my gosh," or, you know, and you start to realize the show really put my face on Front Street, like it really put it out there, so regular Joe would know. At least know my name, you know? Mm-hmm. So it definitely was a good thing.
So when it comes to judging on the show, how does it feel when you have to tell a contestant that they're not good enough to like remain on the show?
It's easy.
Oh, really?
It's definitely easy. No, because you gotta understand, when you grow up in Finch, you learn to be abrupt, you know what I'm saying? And if something's whack, you just say it's whack. And if something's hot, you say it's hot. And it's like, it's a thing from Westview Fashion Show to Jeffrey's Talent Show to Oakdale Lip Sync Contest. Like, you just know how it goes, Triple Center. When it's a talent show, if it's whack, the whole place is like, boo. We used to have a thing called the Finch Boo. And it used to just hold boo for like 10 minutes. If something's whack, we'd be like boo and hold it out. So it's to do that on TV wasn't a far stretch. I mean, you know, you gotta do it properly. You gotta take into consideration, you know, how people take it. But it's not hard. It's not hard. Sometimes they edit it so it doesn't look as bad. But, you know, and sometimes you gotta say certain things are amazing or you don't really go as deep as you would. Just because, you know, you're doing a TV show, so as raw as you want to be, you can't go as raw. But I definitely, it feels good to be able to say what you feel. Hell yeah.
So aside from being one of the top choreographers in North America, you're also one of Jane and Finch's most famous exports. So how was it like growing up in Jane and Finch?
Ah, boy, Jane and Finch, growing up in Jane and Finch was, I want to write a movie about it. Because I've had so much fun. Like, it's a lot of people, you know, they just see Jane and Finch as like the hood where there's drugs and there's guns and there's violence and there's da 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 da. But Jane and Finch is a place, I laugh a lot. If anybody knows me, people who really know me, I laugh a lot. I used to get into trouble at school for laughing. So, but Jane and Finch brought out so much. Like, the best, like, that's my life, you know what I'm saying? Like, did the most music, had the most fun. Created crews like the library. Like, I mean, I was at the library in Jane. People forget that there's libraries in Jane and Finch. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I've experienced every single part. Growing up in Finch, for me, was just like, it was amazing. I wasn't scared. I wasn't in trouble. I never got arrested. You know what I mean? Me and my crew weren't just always in trouble or what everyone thinks. You know what I mean? Jane and Finch was good. It taught you some realness, though. Mm-hmm. It teaches you how to take care of yourself. Because then somebody's not afraid to tell you, yo, what you're doing is whack, or you talk too much, or learn your place. So I think growing up in Jane and Finch definitely teaches you to know your place. Mm-hmm. Like, people came before you, so you can't talk to people like you were there before if you're brand new. Okay. That's a big thing that I learned in Finch, mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And learn how to overcome what everyone thinks about Finch, you know what I mean? We had to compete a lot. We had ball teams that were competing. We had step teams that were competing. So just, you learn how to have a competitive thing and go for something and be the best at it. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's, Finch did that.
So a lot of the kids in the neighborhood do get involved with negative situations such as gang activity and drugs. Do you have any advice that you could give to those kids?
Man, it's sad because the same things that can influence them and pull them into that direction, those same things were there when I was growing up. And I think because my parents were there and they kind of curbed me from doing certain things, it kind of steered me into a different place. All they need is somebody. People just need somebody to kind of role model situations and just stir them. Like, I worked at Driftwood Community Center for like 7 years. And me working there, I created the arts program. Like, I used to do like acting. I used to do like singing. We used to do dancing. We used to do, so on, outside of just basketball and weightlifting and people playing table tennis, kind of offered other things. And a lot of people that probably would have ended up being murderers and people robbing people and doing all those things were doing other things. And I think people just, they just need to have other things to do. Because when there's no balance, if all there is ball, so-and-so, so-and-so, then you're stuck. You kind of get left with the peer pressure holding your life. Whereas, you know, we created step shows and competitions for things that people had to work towards and go to these events. So if those events weren't there, I think people would have just been on the corner creating havoc. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So my only advice is to just be, my advice, it wouldn't even be to those people that are doing those things. It would be to people that are around them to offer other things to do. Mm-hmm. Because people that are doing those things are followers. A lot of followers just follow the trend. They follow what's popular. You know what I mean? They go to where they feel like they're going to get attention. Those are things people are followers. People that are leaders create things that people want to follow. So I think we need to have more leaders. People that are good at something to offer that so other people can join what they're doing and offer some other alternates to just the craziness, you know?
So what kind of advice would you give to the counselors of the area to improve the situations in the neighborhood?
My advice would be to remember that your job is to inspire those kids. Your job is not just to be cool. Your job is to offer them something that they can learn. You know what I'm saying? Like, the people that are hiring these counselors need to hire people that have some type of outlook in life, people that can offer other things. Because I think a lot of counselors are counselors, but not a lot of counselors are good counselors. You know what I mean? You need to hire people. People need to be in those positions that actually care about the kids that come into the program. I used to care about the kids that came into my program. And like, to the point where these kids that I might not have seen them for 20 years, but they still remember everything we did in that program. They remember every shirt that they had to design, everything. So I think people just need to offer people things to do. Yeah.
So I've heard you're well acquainted with Mark Sims, who is part of our website.
Yeah.
How did you get to know each other?
Mark Sims was a good friend of my brother's. So it's like, whenever, you know, because my friends used to come to the house, Kiel is my brother, mm-hmm. Mark would come to the house with Kiel. So that's how I'd know Mark. Like, we would always be hanging out in the hallway. Damn, that's going back. 1825 Finch. So I know him just because that was my brother's good friend. So he would always come over to the crib and I'd see him.
So what do you think about the janefinch.com website?
It's amazing. Like, I kind of looked at it and I was like, damn, like, those are the things that I wish were there when I was, I mean, obviously computer, we weren't checking for the web. We were on Atari and bits and bytes. 0011. No, but I think it's a very good thing. And it made me proud when I saw janefinch.com, because I was like, that's hot. Like, you know what I mean? It wasn't like a little rundown site just with everybody's face and, you know, tits and ass all over it. It's like a good site. Mm-hmm. And it talks about things that, you know what I mean? I like that stuff.
So what's next for Luther Brown?
What's next is I have an artist that I've been developing because I write. And her name's Trish. And we signed a deal with Capitol Records.
Oh, wow.
You know, a nice American deal, worldwide deal. And just gonna put Canada on the map and around the world on a big level. Mm-hmm. I've never wanted to just be that Canadian guy, you know?
Yeah.
You know, because I have Yachty and we have Jamaican in me. We go for everything, you know? We go for everything. So, it's just about to take the world over with Trish. Continue doing So Anything Can Dance. You know, travel and teach and still do what I do.
Mm-hmm. I've heard you're also going to be presenting at the Juno Awards.
Yeah. I just found that out. Mm-hmm. 2 days ago, it was, it, it was a trip, you know. It's not even the whole cast going, so I was a little shocked, like, me? You don't want, you know what I mean? Because this is Canada, so you, sometimes the politics on that TV, it's very, the white guys, it's very, yeah. You know what I'm saying? And it worked out, so I'm going to be presenting.
Are you prepared? Or are you still preparing?
No. No, I mean, I don't know. There's not, you know, I'll start overthinking it because, you know, already, because of me, you know, self-esteem Lou, I'm already like, damn, I got to be on TV. I got to walk out in front of people. How's it going to work? But I'm just going to let it happen. I'm just going to go with the flow. Just be myself.
Well, thank you for your time and keep up your fantastic work.
Thank you.
Thank you.